It was a little after 11 when Brendan led Ryan up the walkway to the Smith home, the fingers of one hand tucked beneath the waistband of the boy's jeans. He waited for Ryan to unlock the door and slip inside before following closely behind. It was more because he enjoyed crowding Ryan's space than because the human was unsteady on his feet. The Ryan's movements were slow, almost sluggish, as the lack of sleep caught up to him. Perhaps taking him out hadn't been the best idea, but if his selfishness had the added advantage of helping Ryan sleep, Brendan wasn't about to regret it. The house was quiet as they climbed the stairs, but Brendan could hear the deep snores coming from the master bedroom. Mr. Smith hadn't been sleeping much lately either, and it seemed as though he'd finally run out of adrenaline to sustain him. Mrs. Smith hadn't been much better when they'd last seen her. Brendan tried to steer Ryan toward the guest bedroom at the top of the stairs, but the boy sidestepped him and continued down the corridor to Spence's room. Brendan followed after him, a frown on his face as he watched Ryan peel off his wet sweater and throw it at the foot of the bed. He wasn't sure it was entirely healthy for Ryan to sleep in Spencer's room, especially given the very real possibility that his friend wouldn't be returning. He'd been gone for 3 days now, apparently vanishing into thin air. Not even Beckett seemed to know where he was, though Brendan wasn't sure whether to be troubled or relieved over that. "What the..." Ryan asked, pulling Brendan from his thoughts. He was sitting on the bed, leaning forward with elbows on his knees, staring at something just behind Brendan. The vampire turned and saw nothing. "Ryan?" he asked, confusion coloring his voice. "His clothes are missing," Ryan said, by way of explanation. He got to his feet, coming over to where Brendan was, and that's when the vampire saw the laundry basket by the door. "This was full," Ryan continued. "I watched his mother fold it this morning. I carried it up here myself." The boy knelt down and ran his fingers across the top layer of clothes, some of which had come unfolded, almost as though someone had been quick and messy about choosing what to take. The basket was only half full, and, now that Brendan thought about it, he was pretty sure that he'd seen a horrible green shirt with an ugly band logo on top. "His bag is gone too," Ryan said, turning his attention to the spot next to the desk where the backpack used to be. Brendan looked around the small room, trying to remember what it had looked like before they left. He hadn't paid attention, though, and wasn't able to find much that was different. He did, however, notice something out of place when he turned back toward the bed. "There's a book," he pointed out. "I can see the corner sticking out." Ryan was still on his knees next to the laundry basket, so he leaned down until his head was almost touching the carpet in order to see what Brendan was talking about. He looked ridiculous, but Brendan managed to keep the observation to himself. "All his school books are down there," Ryan said. "Like they were kicked away. Someone took his bag and his clothes." "Could Spencer have come back?" Brendan asked. He didn't think it was likely, given what Ryan had told him, but he didn't know much about the boy beyond secondhand descriptions. "No," Ryan said emphatically. "Spencer wouldn't do something like that." He grew quiet for a moment, looking at Brendan with wide eyes. "You don't think someone..." He made a vague hand gesture, and it took the vampire a moment to realize what Ryan was asking. "No," Brendan said, with a shake of his head. "If Spencer was a vampire, someone would have had to let him in. And even if they had, what would he want with his old clothes? None of the gangs wear hoodies and t-shirts," he pointed out. "Then what the hell is going on?" Ryan demanded. I have no idea, Brendan said. It wasn't entirely true, though. Brendan's thoughts were going a mile a minute as he tried to make sense of what they'd just learned, trying to piece it together with what they already knew. He made his way to the open window and stared out at the wet yard below, watching the ripple of raindrops and puddles through narrowed eyes. First, there was John Walker, who disowned his boy after taking his memories, all in some misguided attempt to keep him off Dandy radar. Then there was Beckett, who'd not only noticed Spencer, but had apparently begun taking him through Dandy's circles, showing him off as one would a future fledgling. It was an outdated practice, but one Mike had done with Tom, though things had ended differently for them. Spencer went missing after one such outing, and Beckett obviously hadn't had anything to do with it. Hiding the boy wasn't his style, and he wouldn't have such an irritated look on his face these days if he had. Tonight, someone had entered the Smith house and made off with some of Spencer's favorite clothes, things he'd worn often enough to have just come out of the wash. It meant Spencer was alive, and he was with someone who cared enough to bring him familiar things. Brendan felt like an idiot for not putting it together sooner. In his defense, he hadn't thought John Walker would actually be so stupid as to consider that a viable option. He turned away from the window and made his way across the room, heading for the door. He passed Ryan and ran his hand through the boy's hair before pushing him toward the bed. "Get some sleep," he said. "Wait, where are you going?" Ryan asked. Brendan turned slowly, leaning in the doorway, affecting a casual pose. He wished, not for the first time, that his mesmerism would work on Ryan. The last thing Brendan wanted was time to think about the huge taboo he was about to break. The urge to just turn and walk away was strong, but he stayed where he was. Ryan, unsurprisingly, responded better to explanations than to silence. "It's late and you're tired," Brendan said. "Because you're known for patting me on the head and making sure I get a full 8 hours," Ryan replied sarcastically. Brendan didn't much appreciate the tone, but the vampire supposed he had no one else to blame for that but himself. He hadn't exactly been big on boundaries when it came to Ryan. It just figured that it was about to come back and bite him in the ass. "You know something," Ryan continued, his voice rising as he came to the realization. At any other time, in any other situation, Brendan would have been proud of him for that. As it stood, he was just irritated. "You figured it out, and you're going there!" "Ryan, stop," Brendan said, his voice low. Anyone else would have recognized the warning for what it was, but Ryan was blinded to anything that didn't involve Spencer. "No!" he exclaimed, closing the slight distance between them. His face was dark as he leaned close to Brendan, eyes flashing angrily as he made his displeasure known. He was about the same height as Brendan, but, given time, the vampire knew he'd grow to be much taller, maybe even fill out enough for that extra height to become intimidating. It didn't matter in the end. It was a ridiculous move for a human to make, regardless of size. Brendan might have been compact, but he still had a vampire's strength. "You have to take me with you," Ryan demanded. "Spencer is there all alone, and I'm sure the last thing he wants is to see a vampire. He needs me." "Ryan, you can't do this." Maybe it was the plaintive tone of Ryan's voice, or possibly the way the volume kept rising. It could even have been the hand Ryan put on his arm. But whatever set him off, it was the last
straw.
Brendan's patience evaporated, and he reached out to put his hand square in the center of Ryan's chest. He wasn't rough about it, didn't put even a fraction of his strength into the push, but the results were immediate. Ryan ended up all the way across the room, sprawled in the desk chair. His eyes were huge, heart pounding and breath coming fast, as he looked up at Brendan with a confused expression, mixed with disbelief and a hell of a lot of fear. Brendan sighed and turned his hat over in his hands, thinking for a moment before pushing away from the doorframe. Ryan's chair jumped sideways as he reacted to the movement, before folding himself up with knees pulled to his chest and arms wrapped around them. Brendan sat on the edge of the bed, setting his hat out of the way, and watched the boy with a steady gaze. One step forward, 12 steps back, he thought. Ryan's expression was far too much like the way it had been when they'd first met. Ryan, come here, Brendan said. For a moment, he thought the boy would refuse, but he apparently thought better of it and slowly got to his feet. He took his time coming over, stopping when the toes of his dirty sneakers just barely touched Brendan's fine leather loafers. "No, Ryan," Brendan repeated. "Come here." He reached out and grabbed hold of Ryan's belt loops, pulling steadily until the boy had no choice but to follow. His heart was still pounding, but Brendan put the sound out of his mind as he continued to draw Ryan forward, helping him up onto the bed until he was settled in Brendan's lap. His body was rigid, not at all relaxed like he usually was when they were like this. The vampire sighed. His hands were gentle as he ran them down Ryan's back, the touch meant to be soothing, to draw the tension out of his muscles. It didn't quite work that way, but Brendan wasn't deterred. He dropped a kiss to Ryan's mouth, a quick press of their lips together, repeating the action half a dozen times until Ryan tentatively kissed back. Brendan smiled a little against his mouth and pulled away, fixing Ryan with a serious look. He was glad to see that Ryan held his gaze. "Now, what is it that you want, Ryan?" he asked pointedly. "Where's Spencer?" Ryan asked quietly. "He's with John Walker," Brendan replied. He continued to pet at Ryan's back, slipping his hands beneath the thin t-shirt. "Is that the dandy I saw?" "Yes," Brendan said, running blunt nails down Ryan's spine just to see him shiver. "Is he dangerous?" Ryan wondered. "Absolutely," Brendan replied. He felt Ryan grow tense again and settled his hands on the boy's hips. "John is old, Ryan, older than anyone else in this city. With age comes strength and power. The people who cross him don't even have a chance to regret it, because they either die or they lose every scrap of memory in their heads." Ryan looked at him sharply at that, and Brendan just nodded. "He did that to Spencer, but not as a punishment." "Well, it certainly wasn't a reward," Ryan said, beginning to sound much more like himself. "No," Brendan agreed. "It's rare for one of us to disown someone, but it happens now and then. We're a possessive bunch. We'd rather kill someone than let them go." Brendan was pretty sure that Ryan's shiver this time had nothing to do with his touch. "But he let Spencer go," Ryan said. His voice was terse, and Brendan knew what he was thinking. Doing such a bad job of taking the boy's memories and leaving him to suffer was hardly the same thing as letting him go, but it was the best comparison he could make. "He did," Brendan said, "and he had his reasons for that. Ryan was looking at him suspiciously, his sharp mind putting it together, realizing that Brendan had inside knowledge about that. Brendan didn't feel like explaining himself, so he started in before Ryan could ask the questions Brendan could see in his eyes. "Beckett's been putting his hands where they don't belong," he said pointedly. Ryan might not have mentioned anything, but Brendan was fairly certain that John hadn't lied about that. He might have thought it would be in Spencer's best interest to keep him out of our circle.
"You didn't think that," Ryan pointed out.
"I'm not that selfless," Brendan replied. "I took what I wanted. I won't apologize for that."
"I didn't ask you to," Ryan said softly. He was quiet for a moment before he shifted his weight a little, his thighs momentarily drawing tight around Brendan's hips.
"You know, I thought Beckett was following me that time.
But he was after Spencer, wasn't he? Pete said Spencer was with him the night he went missing. Spencer was so confused. He must have attracted attention."
"What John did, it wasn't subtle," Brendan began, choosing his words carefully. "But Beckett wasn't the first vampire to find Spencer. Gerard tracked him down easily enough when he was here. I've never seen John that angry. Or scared," Brendan added, replaying the scene in his head. John's narrowed eyes, the surprise on his face, his parting exclamation. He had no doubt about it. They were still dealing with the aftermath of Gerard's visit.
"I don't care whose fault this is," Ryan said. "I just want Spencer to come home." Brendan sighed.
"That might not be an option, Ryan, and you have to prepare yourself for that. Just because we know where he is doesn't mean John is going to pat Spencer on the head and send him home again. You need to understand something here. Beckett or John, those are the only two options there are."
"They're both shitty choices," Ryan said, the sharp edge of anger in his voice, hiding the helpless feeling Brendan knew was eating away at him.
"They always are when you're picking the lesser of two evils," Brendan replied.
They sat in silence for several long minutes before Brendan pushed a little on Ryan's hips, telling him without words that he needed to stand up. As soon as the boy was on his feet, Brendan grabbed his hat and stood as well.
"Grab another sweater," he said, even though he knew it was an incredibly bad idea.
Ryan scrambled to find something dry, and Brendan didn't allow himself to have second thoughts about bringing Ryan with him. He had a vague idea of where to look, in a neighborhood where he'd run into John more often than anywhere else. He'd never cared much about John's safe house, not like some of the others who'd made it their personal missions to discover its location. Any clues Brendan had managed to gather were purely accidental. Not that John would appreciate the distinction. It was rare for John to sleep during the evening, and he disliked the feeling of disorientation and confusion that came with waking at such an unusual hour. There were no windows in the bedroom, but instinct told John that it couldn't be past midnight. He wasn't sure what woke him in the first place, but he put it out of his mind and looked over at Spencer. The boy was still sleeping, tucked up against John's side, the fingers of one hand curled against his cheek. He was dreaming about something, eyes moving rapidly beneath closed lids. The mark on his neck was all but gone, nothing more than two light pink splotches against his pale skin. John looked down at his own wound, running his hand across the scabbed over length of the cut. It would be no different than Spencer's in a few hours, light pink and barely there. For now, it itched a little and pulled as he moved. He was about to trail his fingers down the side of Spencer's neck when a muffled noise caught John's attention. That was it, then, the sound that had woken him up. It was troubling. His safe house was private, the penthouse inaccessible without a master key for the elevator. There shouldn't have been anyone in the hallway to make noise. John pulled away from Spencer, shushing him quietly and urging him back to sleep. His trousers were filthy, covered in grime from the fight as well as his own blood. He'd wanted to take them off before falling asleep, but hadn't thought Spencer would be all too happy with that when he awoke, even if he'd been groggy and not likely to argue after letting him feed. John slipped out of what was left of his ruined clothes and made his way out of the bedroom, closing the door firmly behind him. There was no need to put Spencer on display. Somehow, John was not surprised to see Brendan standing on his doorstep. He seemed to have a knack for being where he wasn't wanted. He had no idea how Brendan had found his safe house, but that wasn't what annoyed John the most. No, that would be Ryan, who was standing next to Brendan, a serious expression on his face. He held himself perfectly straight, trying his best to make use of his height and appear grown up. John wondered if he'd actually have to point out that it was difficult to be intimidated by someone so slight, especially when he was wearing a baby blue sweater. With an irritated sigh, he punched the code into the keypad and threw open the door, unmindful of his nudity. Ryan, however, was not. He squawked and covered his eyes, though John thought there was entirely too much space left between his fingers to completely block the view. "Laundry day, I see," Brendan remarked. Ryan's pointy fingers came up and poked him hard in the ribs. John could see the grimace, even though Brendan did his best to hide it. "You're not taking this seriously," Ryan exclaimed, dropping his hands to glare over at Brendan, who only rolled his eyes. "It's hard to do when you're flailing," he said. Ryan's mutinous glare told John that he was missing something, that Brendan was somehow making fun of the boy beyond the obvious taunt. "Are you both finished?" John asked. He leaned in the doorway and crossed his arms, regarding them with narrowed eyes. "Where's Spencer?" Ryan asked. Brendan shot him a pointed look, and the boy quieted down again, looking momentarily at his feet. John took note of that. Something had happened between them, something that Brendan intended to use to keep Ryan in check. He wished he knew what it was. It might prove useful. "As much as we love to see you, John," Brendan began, "we've actually come to call on dear Spencer." "I don't know why you'd think that was even possible," John said, not bothering to deny Spencer's whereabouts. Brendan could no doubt smell him, and that kind of lie was beneath John's dignity. "Just let Ryan see him," Brendan said. "That's all I'm asking." "Maybe so," John said. "But what is he asking?" John fixed Ryan with a look, waiting for the boy to answer. John could see how much the question bothered Ryan. He was obviously torn between parroting Brendan's words and telling the truth. "I want to talk to him," Ryan said. "I want to know he's okay." John studied him for a long moment, mulling the option over in his head. It was a bad idea, but not one he couldn't fix if things went wrong. It might even win him some brownie points with Spencer. His mind made up, John stepped away from the door and let Brendan and Ryan in. "He's in the bedroom," John said. Ryan took off like a shot, leaving the two vampires alone. John closed the door and leaned against it, watching Brendan with interest. "What makes you think I won't just wipe both your memories?" he asked after a moment.
Brendan, annoyance that he was, didn't even have the good grace to look scared.
Because I don't actually think you enjoy living like this, he replied.
It was close enough to the truth that John let him get away with it. For now.
Spencer was floating, his arms and legs strangely weightless and disconnected from his body. He didn't hurt, but he was a little uncomfortable. Part of his neck felt weird, tight, like new skin just healed over an old wound. It was that thought, almost as much as the insistent hands on his shoulders, that caused Spencer's eyes to fly open, and him to bolt upright in the bed.
The sudden movement didn't agree with him, and Spencer's head swam.
Oh, he groaned, covering his face with his hands. Someone eased him back down onto the bed and brushed his hair back. As he waited for the world to stop spinning, Spencer took a deep breath and tried to prepare himself for what he'd see when he opened his eyes again. The hands on his forehead didn't belong to John. Even when he was gentle, Spencer could feel the strength in his fingers. It wasn't William, either. Spencer wasn't likely to forget the bad wrong feel of his touch. Finally, he lowered his hands and blinked his eyes open again, more carefully this time. Ryan grinned down at him.
Just like you, Spence, he said. We're freaking out, and you're just lying in bed.
Spencer didn't actually think Ryan was as relaxed as he was trying to sound. He'd known Ryan long enough to notice the slightly panicked tremor in his fingers, and to recognize the wide look in his eyes for the fear it was. He allowed Ryan to help him sit up against the headboard, and then just took a minute to look at him. Ryan looked exhausted and afraid. Spencer wondered if he looked much the same.
How did you find me? He asked.
Brendan, Ryan admitted.
He looked a little uncomfortable for a moment, ducking his head and staring at the duvet. Whether he was embarrassed for not having told Spencer about Brendan, or because Brendan had been the one to find his best friend, Spencer didn't know.
So, Spencer said, after a moment of silence. Vampires.
Fucking vampires, Ryan agreed.
They laughed a little at that, the last of the awkwardness disappearing. Ryan moved closer, wrapping his arms around Spencer in a tight hug. Spencer held on, not wanting to let go. Neither did Ryan, and they wiggled down the bed a little, wrapped around one another.
Are you here to take me home? Spencer asked, before he could think better of it.
He held his breath as he waited for an answer, his heart pounding in his chest.
What a stupid thing to ask, he berated himself. What could Ryan do, really? Why make him feel worse?
Though he tried to prepare himself, he still felt like crying when Ryan tentatively replied with,
I don't think he'll let me.
Yeah,
Spencer said, letting out the breath he'd been holding.
I didn't think so. Is William looking for me?
Beckett?
Ryan asked.
Probably. Brendan says he's pretty pissed, but Brendan's been keeping his distance from the others. He's not exactly on good terms with them.
At Spencer's quizzical look, Ryan elaborated.
Because of someone named Gerard. And me,
he added, almost as an afterthought.
Spencer let Ryan talk at length, filling Spencer in on everything he'd kept hidden, every thought he wished he could have shared, and every worry he'd had over the last few weeks. Spencer listened to it all, getting lost in the steadiness of Ryan's voice, finding the tension in his body slowly seep away as he moved a little closer. He'd always felt better when Ryan was around,
And even though he knew he was being selfish by keeping him there, Spencer couldn't find it in himself to give that up.
"Did he hurt you?"
Ryan asked, once he'd finally run out of things to say.
"John?"
Spencer asked.
"No, I mean, other than not letting me leave. He thinks he's keeping me safe this way."
Spencer was barely able to keep from rolling his eyes. "At one point he talked about sending me away, somewhere that William wouldn't be able to get me. There's a city somewhere that he's not allowed to go to."
Quietly, he added,
"He said you wouldn't be allowed to come with me."
"No," Ryan agreed softly.
"Even if Brendan allowed it, he's still technically one of Beckett's people. If Beckett can't go, there's no way Brendan could. And I'm Brendan's."
The last bit was said simply, as though that's just the way things were. Spencer tried to scrutinize Ryan's tone and demeanor, but his friend wasn't giving him much to go on, other than the fact that Ryan apparently believed it. It was the way of things, and he wasn't exactly fighting it.
"How?"
Spencer asked, his voice barely above a whisper.
"He's marked me twice now," Ryan said,
keeping his voice much like Spencer's. He moved so that he was facing his friend, their bent knees touching and their heads on the same pillow.
"Gerard was coming, and Brendan wanted me to be safe."
"What did it mean?" Spencer wondered. Had John marked him and he just didn't know about it? He didn't think so. That seemed like the kind of thing a person would notice.
"It's like a warning, I guess," Ryan continued. "Other vampires can tell. They call me a dandy. They don't come near me."
"John said William..."
Spencer's voice trailed off.
"Yeah,"
Ryan agreed.
"He's a different story. But he hasn't done anything to me. Not really. He knows better, I think."
"He leads the city," Spencer pointed out. "And everyone is loyal to him. He can ask for whatever he wants if you're one of them."
It was second-hand information, but Spencer felt like he was making a significant contribution regardless.
"But I'm not one of them,"
Ryan pointed out.
"I don't want to be. Brendan knows that."
"Do you really think that's going to matter?" Spencer asked.
Ryan grew quiet again.
"I guess we'll deal with that when we get to it,"
he said after a moment. Whether he meant Beckett or Brendan, Spencer didn't know.
"How do you know so much?" Ryan asked.
"John told me," Spencer replied. "I think he wanted me to understand."
"Do you?"
Ryan wanted to know.
"A little? Not really,"
Spencer admitted.
"But there's something..."
He trailed off again, as he tried to find the right words for what he wanted to say.
"I cared about him. Before."
"And now?"
"I don't know," Spencer said. "But I let him, you know."
"You slept with him?"
Ryan asked, eyeing the bed with narrowed eyes.
"Yeah, but also, you know," Spencer said.
"He bit you?"
Ryan sat up at that, leaning over Spencer and examining his neck. His fingers were a little cold, and Spencer shivered.
"Brendan's never..."
he asked. Ryan shook his head, teeth sunk into his bottom lip. He looked a little uncertain, and Spencer couldn't figure out why.
"He never asked, and I never offered,"
Ryan admitted.
"John never told me about marking,"
Spencer said, wanting, no matter how little sense it made, to let Ryan have something. Ryan was surprised at his words, looking down at Spencer incredulously.
Unless it happened the first time, but he hasn't said, and I don't feel any different. He said you were different.
Ryan nodded, but he didn't say anything to that. Spencer watched as he became lost in thought, his brain no doubt working at putting things together so he could make sense of them.
If he's worried about you becoming one of them, it might not matter, Ryan said finally. But in the meantime, it'll keep the others away from you. The thing is, it's like this huge thing, Brendan said, to be responsible for someone else. You can't take it back.
Spencer wasn't stupid. Vampires killed people.
That seemed to be a damn good way of taking it back, but he kept the thought to himself.
I don't think responsibility is going to be a problem, Spencer pointed out. Look at his grand solution.
Yeah, Ryan snorted.
He looked at Spencer then, watching him critically, weighing the pros and cons of asking the question that was running through his head.
Are you sure about this?
He asked.
Is it worth it?
Yeah, he might let you go home, but you're not going to get rid of him, Spence. You'll always belong to him.
Spencer took note of the emphasis Ryan put on that word. It was a fair question. Was he prepared for that? Was going home worth it if it was only temporary? There was no doubt in his mind that it would be just that. Temporary. If the time together had taught Spencer anything, it was that John's twisted sense of duty, his need to hide Spencer away to keep him safe, all came out of some kind of feeling. Whether it was obsession, lust, or something else, something he didn't quite want to name yet. Spencer wasn't exactly sure. Still, he knew there was some kind of strong emotion driving his actions, and something like that didn't just go away. It was only a matter of time before John wanted more than Spencer's mortality could give him.
We are so fucked up, he said.
We are,
Ryan agreed, patting his shoulder.
I'm guessing you used your talents on the guard downstairs so you could get his key, so I won't even bother to ask about that. What I do want to know is how you even found this place to begin with,
John said, as he firmly closed the door behind the bookcase.
He'd been loath to leave Brendan in the apartment alone, but the novelty of his nudity had worn off fairly quickly after Ryan scampered away.
He smoothed the hand down his wine-red waistcoat and swung the bookcase back into place. Brendan hadn't moved much in the time he'd been alone. He was still standing near the window, staring down at the headlights far below.
Deduction, Brendan replied, not turning away from the window. I've crossed paths with you in this neighborhood before. This was the only suitable building around here.
John raised an eyebrow at that. He hadn't realized he'd been quite that obvious with Brendan.
The thought annoyed him. The invasion of his personal space would have been easier to take if one of Ryan's vision was the cause of it. And as for what prompted me to look for you, I'll just say that the laundry basket probably wasn't your best bet,
Brendan continued. He turned away from the window then and fixed John with a long look. It made John want to laugh.
Whose space was being invaded? Who had the right to question whom in this particular situation?
What happened to your side? Brendan finally asked. John's hand went to the wound, pushing a little with the heel of his hand. It was healing, though it was taking a lot out of him. John could still feel a sleepy lethargy in his limbs as his strength was diverted toward repairing the damage and knitting the flesh back together.
I crossed paths with someone unfriendly, John replied. It seems your police officers were rather suspicious.
Probably, Brendan agreed. Should I apologize for that? It's not as though any of this...
He gestured around the room.
That makes a damn lick of sense.
John shrugged his shoulders in a smooth, graceful motion.
He knew it didn't make sense, and he knew that it certainly wasn't one of his better ideas. But there was nothing he could do about it now. He'd already had his moment of anger and self-doubt. Knowing he'd acted completely on raw emotion hadn't made it easier to understand. Not when he'd spent so much time holding tightly to his control. There'd just been something so wrong about doing the right thing, only to have it all be for nothing.
You're the one who wanted him to have protection, John pointed out.
It was facetious, and John knew it. He fully expected Brendan's exasperated sigh.
Yes, John, a mark, or at the very least some kind of declaration. Not a locked door, he said.
I don't have to explain anything to you, John said. You can't even control your own human, yet you expect me to take pointers from you about how to care for mine?
Ryan might not be predictable, but he's certainly never boring, Brendan said.
You'll find that humans are more accommodating when they're not tethered.
This has nothing to do with keeping him happy, John said.
Obviously, Brendan replied. You wouldn't dare to act this way with anyone else, John said, his irritation evident in both his expression and his tone.
It was true. He knew that Brendan was more than capable of making his point without outright rudeness. Most dandies learn to be subtle in their persuasiveness. But Brendan had honed his skills at John's side in Brian City. Brian was nothing if not strict when it came to matters such as those.
No, I wouldn't, Brendan agreed. But we have history, you and I, as much history as someone as young as myself can have, he added, seeing John's quirked eyebrow. So anything else, any fine words and sugarcoating, is nothing but a lie. I'm being honest when I say that you fucked up.
You're being crass, John said, turning away from Brendan and heading toward the apartment's small kitchen, which was just off the main entryway.
And you're doing what I just said I wouldn't, Brendan said. Don't you think I deserve the same courtesy?
Courtesy? John asked incredulously, turning to stare at Brendan as though he'd gone insane.
You've come to my safe house uninvited. You've dared to pass judgment on one of your elders, and you're asking me for courtesy?
I'm not doing anything to you that you haven't already done to yourself, Brendan said confidently. And if you'll stop being defensive for a minute, you'll see that I'm here to help you.
Let's hear your brilliant plan, then, John said, arms spread and expression impatient. What do you want me to do? Beckett found him. He had his hands on my boy as though they belonged there. Spencer didn't want him. I knew that because I've seen him when he's playful, nervous, or needy. He was just scared, and I didn't like that, so I took him back. Damn the consequences. How do I undo that, Brendan?
You don't, Brendan said fiercely, closing the distance between himself and John.
You keep him. Mark him now and keep him with you. When it comes time to turn him, if you're still worried, send him to another city. I don't expect you to uproot yourself for him permanently, but you can travel between the two. Maya would watch out for him, you know that. She'd give you an open invitation. You could see him whenever you wanted.
If I turn him, he's not going anywhere, John said. There was no mistaking the possessive tone of his voice. It felt good, right.
Then we'll deal with that when we get to it, Brendan said.
John didn't miss the we. He supposed they were both in the same boat now. Maybe he'd do well to let Brendan help. Okay, he said. John? Both vampires turned toward the bedroom, where Spencer and Ryan were standing in the doorway, hands linked loosely together. There was a serious expression on Spencer's face, trying to mask the thread of fear John could see in his eyes. It was the look Spencer got when he was trying so very hard to be grown up. All it did was remind John of how young he was. John was vaguely aware of Brendan stepping back from him, holding out his hand for Ryan to come away from his friend. But John's attention was fixed on Spencer. The boy fidgeted in place for a moment, unsure of what to do without Ryan beside him. But he took a deep breath and squared his shoulders. "Can I talk to you?" he asked. John nodded and wondered how much of his conversation with Brendan the boys had overheard. Not that it mattered. He ushered Spencer back into the bedroom and closed the door behind him. Spencer didn't know what he planned to say. He hadn't exactly had time to think that far ahead. He had a vague idea of what he wanted. Ryan had been specific enough about that part, at least, as well as the myriad of possible side effects Spencer might end up suffering. But he hadn't exactly been much help in helping Spencer figure out how to ask for it. This was a big deal. Spencer knew that without having to be told, and he had no idea of the etiquette involved. Was it rude to come out and ask? The dandies seemed to care about that stuff. At least, it was something that John seemed to fall back on whenever he was frustrated or annoyed with something. Spencer suspected he did it in other situations, too, but it wasn't like John was willing to give up that much of himself at the moment. The fact that Spencer was thinking in terms of now versus later should probably have been more troubling than it was. Spencer put the blame squarely on Ryan, with his stupid wide eyes and whispered confessions. "Spencer?" John asked, after a moment of silence that stretched a little too long. He stood near the dresser, leaning against it casually, but something about his stance was wrong. Spencer sank down on the bed and just looked at the vampire, taking in his carefully blank expression, the set of his shoulders, the slight stiffness in the way he held himself. He was anything but relaxed, and Spencer couldn't help but think that he'd never have noticed that if not for whatever it was between them. They'd only known each other for 2 weeks, but so much must have happened. It killed him that he'd never get to know exactly what. "I was talking to Ryan," Spencer said, cringing a little at the way he'd chosen to start his sentence. Of course he'd been talking to Ryan. John had let him in, after all. "And what has Ryan been telling you?" John asked. His tone was conversational, carefully blank, and meaningless. He wanted to see what Spencer was going to say, and he didn't want to offer anything up in return until he knew. "Don't," Spencer said, surprised by the feeling he was able to put into one word. Surprised even more to find that it was genuine. "Don't stand there like this doesn't mean anything. I have something important to say." The expression on John's face softened, becoming more genuine, and he pushed away from the dresser to close the distance between them. He sat down next to Spencer on the bed and waited quietly. "How's your side?" Spencer asked, suddenly almost shy, needing a moment to find his courage again. "Healing," John replied. "Thank you for that." That was unexpected, and Spencer ducked his head a little, letting his hair fall across his face. "You're welcome," he said. "What is it you want to say, Spencer?" John asked gently. Spencer wondered if John knew what he was about to ask, if that was some kind of ulterior motive for his tone. In the end, he decided it didn't matter. He would just come out and say it.
"If you marked me, would I be able to go home?"
he asked.
Ryan said it was like a warning. It would keep the others away.
"It would," John said. "But it wouldn't keep me away.
You do realize that, don't you? If we do this, there's no taking it back, no matter what. You'll never get rid of me."
Spencer barked out a bitter laugh.
"I can still feel your hands on me, you know," he said. "It's not as strong as it was, not since you..."
His voice trailed off, and he sighed.
"Not since that first night," he said. "But it's still there, John, and I don't think it's ever going away. Even if I didn't have that, there are fucking vampires out there. Every time I see one, I'm going to think about you. Every time I watch the news, I'm going to wonder if it was you. Even if this wasn't for keeps, do you really think I'd ever get rid of you?"
"No, I suppose not," John said, shaking his head a little.
"Will you do it?"
Spencer asked.
"I'm not Brendan," John said, the warning clear in his voice.
Spencer looked up at him, taking in the serious look on his face.
"I don't have his easy nature. We were raised differently, he and I. He was spoiled, doted on, and he's used to getting what he wants."
Spencer nodded, not quite sure what to make of the statement, but willing to see how it played out. He turned a little, bending one leg and shifting around on the bed so that he was facing the vampire beside him.
"I was taught that there was always something more important than possessions," John continued. "I never had anything that was mine before."
Spencer felt a flare of irritation at being referred to as a possession, but he pushed it aside for the time being.
"I ruined things, I understand that. Brendan and Ryan, with all their issues, are nothing compared to the two of us."
John laughed softly at that, and Spencer couldn't help but grin a little. He was right.
"You need to know what you're asking for. I won't change my mind after this. I won't send you to Brian or Maya or anyone else. You'll belong to me. I won't give you up."
"I know," Spencer said.
And he did. It might take a few days to really sink in, but in the here and now, he got it. This wasn't just a game to play so he'd be allowed to go home again.
He thought back to the look on Ryan's face as he talked about what it was like, and beneath the trepidation and embarrassment was actual desire. Spencer was pretty sure he'd had that same look on his face once. He'd thought that maybe it would come back in time.
"Okay, then," John said. "Come here."
He held a hand out, and Spencer stared at it stupidly for a moment before shuffling closer. John closed strong fingers around Spencer's wrist and tugged a little, letting go as soon as Spencer got the hint and moved to straddle his lap. He settled down carefully, even though he wasn't exactly sore anymore. But the last thing he wanted to do was give John the wrong impression, especially when Ryan and Brendan were right outside the door. Spencer watched with wide eyes as John took off his tie and unbuttoned the top few buttons of his cream-colored shirt. He then reached into his pocket and drew out a small, pearl-handled switchblade. He looked at Spencer for a moment, no doubt trying to gauge his reaction.
"Are you ready?"
he asked. Spencer nodded, and John made a small cut at the base of his throat. The hand cupping the back of Spencer's head was gentle but insistent as it drew him forward. The boy's eyes were fixed on the blood as it ran down the side of John's neck, pooling along his collarbone. It was so red,
such a vivid contrast to John's skin, still pale after his recent blood loss, even after feeding on Spencer. It was creeping ever closer to the fine fabric of John's shirt, and it would stain, Spencer knew. That shirt would be completely ruined, he told himself, and that's the only reason he darted forward to lick across John's skin. The taste of blood, a strong coppery tang on his tongue. He lapped at the smears before fixing his mouth over the cut, not sucking, but running his tongue over the torn skin until the flow began to slow and then stop altogether. John eased him back, even though Spencer didn't want to go. He kept his hands tight on the vampire's shoulders instead, not willing to give up all contact. Eyes half closed, he licked his lips a little, absently chasing the taste across his mouth. It was weird, but Spencer wasn't even going to deny that he liked it. Maybe it was the role reversal, being the one on top, in control, even if it was only an illusion. He looked at John then, wanting to see his reaction. Maybe he'd come on too strong, taken too much. Was there such a thing as being slutty for something like this? Spencer wasn't sure, but he knew he didn't want to come off as cheap. Although, what kind of boy slept with a vampire after knowing him only 2 weeks? Come to think of it, what kind of boy slept with a vampire, period? The thought disappeared the moment he caught sight of the dark look in John's eyes. His pupils were blown wide, his gaze hungry and intense. And Spencer knew it had nothing to do with food. John, he said softly, shifting forward a little, just far enough to feel that he was hard. Spencer moaned quietly, torn between moving away and sliding closer. He wasn't ready to forgive the 3 days he'd spent locked away, no matter what sensory memory his body was clamoring for. Brendan will make sure you get home all right, John said, his voice rough as he set Spencer back on his feet. He'll stop your parents asking too many questions. But Spencer stayed where he was, his bottom lip caught between his teeth as he shifted his weight from foot to foot. Are you taking Mulligan with you? John asked, talking right over anything Spencer was going to say. I can't. Spencer said. My dad has allergies. John nodded. He can stay here, then. The vampire got to his feet and pressed a hand firmly to the small of Spencer's back, leading him toward the door and not giving him a chance to protest again. Spencer wasn't stupid. He knew why he was being dismissed. He was even a little grateful for it. But he didn't want to leave things like that between them. John, stop. The words had the desired effect, even though that surprised Spencer a little. Spencer swallowed hard and reached up, taking John's face in his hands, holding him still so he could kiss him. He licked into John's mouth, tentative at first, but the vampire's reaction was immediate. As soon as he tasted the blood on Spencer's tongue, he backed the boy up against the door, rattling in its frame so hard that there was no way the others couldn't possibly know what they were doing. Spencer moaned low in his throat as John crowded him, his hands rough on Spencer's hips. You need to go, John said after a minute, pulling away and licking at Spencer's mouth. Yeah, Spencer said. John stepped back, and Spencer reached for the doorknob, pulling the door open and making his way into the main apartment. Brendan and Ryan were standing by the window, talking quietly. They stopped when they noticed him standing there, but didn't come any closer. Waiting, no doubt, for some kind of sign from John. Take him home, John said. Ryan wasted no time in hurrying over, taking Spencer's hand tightly in his own. Brendan stayed where he was for a moment longer, looking at John and judging the situation, before apparently coming to some conclusion and stepping away from the window.
Spencer allowed himself to be tugged toward the door, Ryan's fingers linked with his. He should be happy. This is what he wanted for days now. He couldn't help but feel a twinge of something. Regret, maybe? Confusion, certainly. As he looked back at John. As he stepped out into the hall, he shivered despite the warm air. Being led away, twisting around to watch John? It felt entirely too much like it had back at the restaurant.